Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that hopefully help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. And if you'd like to visit my blog, please do so at blueprintforwealth.org, where you can get the latest on estate planning, tax, and business planning topics of interest. There are also videos. All of our old radio shows are archived there, and my Washington Business Journal articles also are stored on the blog. So we'd love to have you come visit us. And if you'd like to make an appointment with one of our 55 attorneys, call us at 703-218-2100. Today we're going to be talking about asset protection. That means protecting your assets, your hard-earned assets, from creditors, from taxes, and I'm going to focus on the top 10, in my view, asset protection planning mistakes. It's clear that the need for asset protection planning has never been greater than before. There are hundreds of malpractice suits pending against doctors, CPAs, lawyers. There are hundreds of suits pending against members of boards of directors of publicly and privately held companies. And insurance costs are rapidly skyrocketing, almost to the point of being unaffordable. So with this increased legal exposure, this explosion of legal exposure in our society, what do we do? You need to plan defensively if you're going to be subject to one of these suits. And you need to take advantage of opportunities that you can do to legally protect yourself and your assets against these potential creditors. Avoiding the common mistakes is absolutely critical to your protection. So here are the top 10. And coming in at number 10 is assuming that there's something wrong or illegal about asset protection planning. Well, it's clear that everyone is free to structure your affairs in the most advantageous manner possible. Asset protection planning is only considered illegal or fraudulent when you're doing it with the intent to hinder or delay or defraud your creditors. So courts have actually recognized the legitimacy of asset protection planning. The key is when you take that action. So asset protection planning should be implemented before any creditor issues arise. Number 9, failure to take action prior to problems arising. Well, the most effective planning is done well before the claims of creditors arise. If you're an ideal candidate for asset protection planning, then you're one who's planning in advance of any potential problems. You know that what you're doing is a risky business, and so that you know you need to take some protections, you need to take some precautions to protect your assets going forward. If you're solvent and you face no current threat from an existing or subsequent creditor, then you are allowed to structure your affairs now to avoid problems later. If you protect yourself from possible future creditors, then you're smart and you're doing the right thing. With respect to the person who's protecting himself or herself, significant planning protection vehicles are available, both here in the United States and offshore outside of the U.S. Fewer planning opportunities are available for those who are concerned with specific matters, even though they're acting before the matter is resolved by a court. Like, if there's a malpractice claim that was filed against you, but hasn't proceeded to trial or even discovery has begun, then you're moving along the continuum of what a court might view as taking an act to hinder a potential creditor. In other words, you have knowledge that you may have done something wrong by virtue of the filing of the claim. It doesn't mean you can't transfer the assets. It just means that it's harder to do so if a court has to decide whether or not that transfer is going to be viewed as legitimate and non-fraudulent. So be careful when you're moving assets. Number, 10.9.8, lack of doing proper analysis as to who your creditors are. Asset protection planning is the most effective if you determine who is your most likely creditor, and then you create and implement a strategy to protect yourself against the claims of this creditor. So you can limit your exposure by taking basic steps such as avoiding high-risk real estate or other investments, or exercising special care in who you hire as an employee, or refusing to lend out your cars or your boats or other assets that might be construed as a dangerous instrument, like a chainsaw. Not titling a car or a boat or other dangerous instrument in joint name with your spouse. So keep it in one spouse's name or another, the one who's using it, I guess. Structuring investments in a manner consistent with limiting exposure. And providing for indemnification language, which means protecting yourself from liability in a contract. Also, consider entering into a prenuptial or postnuptial agreement if you really want to limit access to your assets. Oh, I think we're on number 6, failure to properly title assets, since we're talking about titling assets. The title of an asset controls the legal rights of the parties to the property. Some assets are exempt per se. Other assets are exempt by reason of title. Property owned as tenants by the entireties, husband and wife, is protected from the claims of either spouse's individual creditors, such as an asset that is subject to the claims of a mortgage holder on the asset or a joint creditor. Or, for example, if you run over somebody in your car, are you protected? T by E is the legal status that can apply to property that is owned jointly with rights of survivorship between a husband and a wife. And generally, real property that's owned by husbands and wives is protected. In Virginia and Maryland, we have a special statute that actually allows you to transfer T-by-E property to revocable living trusts, even though they may be separate trusts, and still retain your asset protection. So call us if you have questions on that. Number 5, relying on what your friend did. You saw Dr. So-and-so did this asset protection plan with attorney XYZ, and you decide, well, he did it. Let me just copy it. I'll use the same thing. Well, you know, it's like using somebody else's tax return to file your own. You need to be very careful. So planning should be customized to fit your individual needs. No one strategy is successful in all cases, and every plan has to be structured on a case-by-case basis. What works for a colleague may not work for you because it depends on the facts. Number 4, utilizing the wrong kind of entity. If you're operating a business as a sole proprietor or as a partner in a general partnership, you may be exposing yourself to potential creditor claims. That means you may want to consider incorporating or using a limited liability company. Other entities need to be considered to protect yourselves from these unnecessary risks. There are many misconceptions as to what kind of trusts provide asset protection. Revocable living trusts, except as what I just described on T-by-E property, generally do not protect the person who creates the trust from any creditor claims. On the other hand, irrevocable trusts may exempt the property that's transferred to the trust from the claims of creditors if there are no fraudulent conveyances to the trust. In most states, if the person who funds the trust is also the beneficiary, in other words, you put asset into an irrevocable trust for your own benefit, then creditors still may be able to get it. There are asset protection trusts available in certain states that might protect your assets from creditors, even though you are the beneficiary of that trust. These trusts are known as asset protection trusts, and they exist in such states as Delaware, Nevada, Alaska, and several other states have enacted statutes. So, Foreign offshore trusts are another way of affording creditor protection, but they are very expensive and they may not be worth the cost. You need to check it out before you do it. Number 7, not respecting the formalities of the entity. You go to all this trouble to hire a lawyer to set up a corporation for you. And the corporation has articles of incorporation. And the lawyer even created bylaws for you and certain other organizational minutes. But then you stick the minute book in a drawer and completely ignore the formalities from that point forward. That is a fact that a court will look at in determining whether or not to allow a creditor to pierce through that corporate veil and go after your individual assets. In other words, a little bit of cautious operations of your entity will protect you from potential creditor claims simply by following the formalities that are required to be followed under state law. And with a corporation, that would be holding annual shareholders meetings. That would be having a board meeting to elect the officers every year and take certain other actions to approve of transactions that need to be approved by the board or the shareholders. Number 9, improper planning of your gifts. Transfers to a donee should be carefully structured to maintain control and protect donees. Good strategies consider these issues. And number 10, lack of proper estate planning. You don't want to expose your potential inheritance to the claims of creditors. So you may need an estate planner to assist you. If you need that assistance, call us at OF&P at 703-218-2100. And for estate planning, tax, and business planning assistance, call me directly. Also, visit my blog at blueprintforwealth.org. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.